Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of Life is No Coincidence, The Life and Afterlife Connection, and my new book, The Living Spirit, and am delighted to recognize Barbara Martin and Dimitri Moriadis, authors of Communing with the Divine. Whether or not you have yet had experiences with celestial beings, this book will bring you close to the divine aspects of our lives and your own mystical nature. Barbara and Dimitri are co-founders of Spiritual Arts Institute, a nonprofit metaphysical educational corporation in Los Angeles, California, providing for people from all walks of life the ability to gather and develop their spiritual potential, healing, and teaching skills through books, classes, and workshops. Barbara is considered one of the foremost clairvoyants and metaphysical teachers, and was born with highly developed spiritual sensories. As a child, Barbara could see the auras in its subtleties, observe and communicate with spiritual beings, and showed precognitive abilities. As an adult, she added the ability to consciously travel to the spirit worlds. Dimitri draws on 30 years of metaphysical training, originally trained in film and TV, Dimitri redirected his life's work to pursue the path of metaphysics and is the executive director of Spiritual Arts Institute. Hello, Dimitri.
Hi, how are you today?
Great, and delighted to have you. This is an interesting show for me because
great.
I have seen and felt many of the energies since I'm a child, but wasn't as fortunate as Barbara to know at an early age what it was all about. I was a little late bloomer and now have experienced many of those things, and I'm glad to have another voice to share the wonder of the universe and the possibilities of energy, divine energy, and eternal life. So as listeners of Healing From Within are well aware, each show offers insights by leaders in the metaphysical, science, medical, and spiritual fields for helping us reach our highest potential, achieve our destiny, follow our divine life plan, knowing we are supported by invisible energy, loved ones, and are never alone in our journey. In today's show, Dimitri, who has taught thousands to better themselves by working with their aura and spiritual energy, will offer effective tools to help listeners strengthen their intuitive and inspirational powers to glean wisdom and knowledge from that higher vibrational plane of the divine. Dimitri, tell us of your earlier experiences with spirit or that of Barbara, and did you share your visions and knowledge at that time?
Well, Barbara's and my background was actually very different, but came to an interesting point together. Barbara, as you said, when she was 3 years old, had her first experience of seeing the aura. She didn't know what it was called. She relates the story. She was playing with a ball in the living room. Little kid, it rolled into the kitchen. Her mom was doing the dishes. She looked up at her mom, and suddenly, oh, my God, all these beautiful colors were around her. She was singing to herself, and she didn't know what it was, and it kind of opened a portal to having these experiences. She did relate them at the beginning. They thought something was wrong with her, and they checked her kidneys and her liver, you know. Oh, my God, she got a brain tumor and, you know, that kind of thing. And, of course, nothing was wrong with her. But she didn't know what they meant, you know. She knew when the angelic beings came in that they were something special, but didn't really explain a lot of things at that point to her. It was more just having the experience of it.
Well, you know what? Her mother was very relaxed and happy. When you're
right.
happy, the energy projects more around the body. The colors do change and are brighter, and mm-hmm. young children are able to see it. Now, I'm an energy practitioner, Reiki master teacher, and medium. I have an office, and there's an occupational therapist who works with children, and children are always floating back and forth, and they all find their way to my room. I have a blue light there, and they're fascinated by the blue light, and they also are fascinated by me because they're probably seeing that color, those bubbles of light, because children are very open. We all have disability, and children have not been given enough information that it's not possible, and we don't do this, and we don't talk about this, and we don't think about this. So they're seeing it, and they don't talk about it. They just, I see them looking, and they smile, and they're happy, and then they dance around with a little energy of their own, and it's a wonderful thing. And if parents have children who are showing these types of abilities, they should find other people to discuss it with. The children are not sick. The children have gifts of unbelievable potential, and they need to be encouraged. Let's go on to, how do you deal with people who have no understanding of the spiritual realms and our own nature as spiritual beings having a physical life? Was it hard for you as you developed and became aware?
Well, later on it did. Now, see, my background was different. I had an artistic background. So in my early childhood, I was not thinking metaphysically or things of that nature. But then as a teenager and into early adulthood, I started having what I was just calling these moments of inspiration. There would be this time of just extreme clarity, very deep insight, even if walking down the street, looking at people around. It was just a completely I wasn't asking for any of this. It was just sort of happening. And it got to the point where it got so intense, it became this, what I call my road to Damascus kind of opening. it was a life-changing moment.
Well, you see, I think, Dimitri, you were interested in the creative arts because your soul was already an evolved soul looking to share this dimension of love from above. And whether you would have shared it as an actor, a producer, a director, creativity is there for all of us because we're all downloading this inspiration. But some of us happen to pay attention and we begin
to see
a pattern. We begin to see coincidences, synchronicity. We begin to see connections and we begin to be very curious and intrigued by it because it feels good. It helps our physical body to ground itself, to bring our spiritual energy more into our physical body and do more in the physical world, and also still enjoy, the lightness of our energy when it lifts up and brings us the joy through these wonderful inspirational events and talents that we develop. So I think it's great that you started to become aware of it so young. I didn't even start to become aware of it in my teenage years.
I think there's a timing for everybody. We have to go through a certain... People ask, well, Barbara, why were you, how did you see it so young? I spent lifetimes. In other words, she brought it in from many lifetimes of work. It's like they asked Andre Segovia, where did you learn to play the guitar so well? He said, from before I was born.
Is true. We are bringing in all the talents and all the experiences we had before, and we're gathering. But some of us chose to forget for a while, and then we remember, and the soul remembrance starts to come through.
But to share one other thing, what I learned later from those early experiences, because then after I had my awakening, I met Barbara, I started training with her, and life took on a whole different direction for me. But as I started to develop my relationship with the higher more deeply, I realized at some point as I was making a more direct connection, oh my God, it was them. That heightened moment that I was having, it was them communicating to me back then.
Oh, yes,
absolutely. I just didn't put that name on it, and that's why I was feeling the insight. And it was kind of sad when it ended,
When I started to download information for clients, I was developing into a medium. My teacher said to me, you are a medium. And I said, I don't think so. I'm just like everyone else, a little intuitive at times. She says, no, you have this ability, and it is going to become stronger and stronger, and you're going to use it to help a lot of people, and you are that. And then I realized back, just as you did, there were many times I would get a thought and I would just do it like a dutiful child, And then when they started to come in and I started to really be aware when it was my own mind chatter, my ego, my agenda in the physical world, and it was when it was a message from higher up, I became aware of the difference. But it took a while.
Well, this is the answer to your question about what do you say to someone that doesn't know. This support is there regardless if you're aware of them or not. And they're helping us every day. So the Holy Ones, you know, they're not the adornment to our life. They're not there to come just when we're in their trouble or got our back up against the wall. They're helping us on a daily basis. We may not identify it as them when they are around us at that moment, but they're there. And the point is, and why we wrote the book, you know, The Communion with the Divine, was to say it's time, you know, if you're having these promptings, you're having the spiritual calling, it's time to deepen your relationship to the higher. And, you know, one of the reasons they put so much in the book was to get a picture of how deep that relationship is.
And how it would appeal to people on different levels of understanding.
And we also tried to do universal. In other words, it doesn't matter if you're in China or if you're in Oklahoma. It's the same hierarchy benefiting humanity. Maybe they have different names in different parts of the world, but it's not like you've got your God and I got mine.
No. There's only one source of energy and creative life force and expansion, and we're all part of it. You know, our DNA, we're 99.9% all the same. It's that 0.1% that makes us unique for our life path and this challenge of a physical world. That 1% is our soul, and all together we are the universal energy. We break off, we have divine sparks of that universal energy, but when we come together again, we are that whole force of expansion and life. Some call it universal energy, divine life, God, many, many different ways to approach it, but it's for everyone, and it doesn't even have to be related to belief systems. It has to be related to the physical life, the spiritual life, the energy life, and the oneness or unity of all life. So let's go on to what is actually meant by the term spiritual hierarchy.
Okay, that's a good question. The official term kind of came into prominence in the early Christian era. There was a reorganization of a lot of the ancient Hebrew knowledge on angels and archangels, which is where our knowledge basically comes from. And there was they don't know what his name was, but there was a man he was penned a Pseudo-Dionysius, and he wrote one of the most influential works on the hierarchy ever written in about 500 or 600 AD, which outlined a certain aspect of the order, but the whole concept was that there is an order. So what we teach here is that, you know, it's not just sort of a group of beings just huddled around together. They're organized. They're organized better than any army on earth, better than any company or corporation on earth or any government on earth. And they're organized according to levels of consciousness. So, you know, there's an old Kabbalistic axiom, the stone becomes a plant an animal a man a god. There is an evolutionary change in consciousness at the different kingdoms of nature. And what we have to also realize is that the higher kingdoms, the non-physical ones, like the angels and the archangels, they're still part of the natural order of life. They're as much a part of life as the trees and the flowers and the animals and the plants, but they're just operating at a higher frequency, so their order is different. So we have this human kingdom that we're in right now. Now, what's so unique about being human is, from the metaphysical perspective, we're known as sort of the pivotal kingdom, because we do bring with us some of the earlier animal instinctual part of us, but we also have this very unique ability to awaken the divine consciousness in us, the enlightenment. It's in the human kingdom that we can have a direct experience of God, to know not from faith, not from belief, not from a feeling, but from the direct experience.
But from the alignment to the energy and the knowingness, and that is...
Well, the actual God itself. And there is an actual God. There is a divine intelligence that's steering this whole process of evolution. And we're drawing our inspiration from that source. We're drawing our love from that source. We're drawing all the energy you're talking about. People talk about the aura. Well, where is that aura coming from? It's coming from the divine source. It's coming from the Godhead. Barbara described this great. She said, think of God like a trillion-watt light bulb. a trillion watt power station, and we are a 20 watt light bulb.
There's no way
we can take the trillion watts of power, we'd blow up. But if there was a transformer, if there was a way to step down the energy to a level we can accept, then that's fine. So that's what the divine ones do. They step down the vibration to a level that we can accept so that we can utilize the divine power and ascend. We're in a process of unfoldment. We're trying to, it's literally like we're a seed, and the seed needs the nourishment to grow, but in consciousness, we have the potential for becoming almost godlike ourselves in terms of awareness and abilities, what they call co-creators.
Yes, that's the divine spark of God that's within each of us in our heart center, our soul, which is in our heart center, absolutely. And you wrote in the book, within the oneness, there is a hierarchy of God. God is not static or inert, but unfolding in even greater creation and glory. The vastness of this process is hard to fathom. And Helena Blavatsky was a medium, I believe, in the 1800s. She wrote, our universe is only one of an infinite number of universes, each one standing in the relation of an effect as regards its predecessor. And this stupendous development has neither conceivable beginning nor imaginable end. In our metaphysical work, the threefold aspect of God is recognized as the following, and she relates it to be God the Father, Holy Mother, God Almighty, God the Absolute, and absolutely all that is. So that would be at the top.
You jumped into a very, that's a serious quote there. That's not a light quote there. What was being shown there is that some people wonder, well, okay, let's say you get to God, you get to the source, is it kind of like all over? You know, are you kind of like playing on harps and clouds and things like that? And what's trying to be shown there, that even the Godhead itself is in a dynamic state.
Of expansion and change, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So there's different levels. There is the God, the Father, Mother, which are celestial parents. Mm-hmm. We were born as a human soul out of the womb of the Holy Mother God. Now, not Mother Mary here. We're talking about the celestial, the world, universal mother. So, but then beyond that is the Almighty, and out of the Almighty steps forth the universal plan. So in other words, how did this whole even plan of evolution come about? How did it get organized? How did it get designed? It came from the Almighty. So the entire universal plan came from that Almighty. But beyond the Almighty is the Absolute, what the Indians called the Brahman. And this is the Absolute. This is what's fueling our consciousness, fueling the very ability to perceive, to understand. The Upanishad said it so beautifully, that which eyes cannot see, but through which I see. That which ears cannot hear, but through which ears can hear. That alone I am. That's a magnificent mystical description of the Absolute. Because
Beautifully said. Well, how do angels work with us? And if one is not religious, can they still call on angels?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, it's not a religious. Metaphysics and religion, they work well together. Although some think there is an antagonism, that's completely man-made. They're different aspects of the same process. And they're not, although it's true the religions brought a lot of that knowledge through initially, they're very metaphysical, and they're non-denominational. So whether you call them a deva, an asura, or an angel, whatever term, now the the terminology you use, it's a universal being. It's a kingdom, really. The angels are a kingdom of life, just like the human kingdom is, and they're one step up. They're up a step up from the human. So the job of the angels is to carry out a lot of the administrative duties of the hierarchy, and they are guiding us. Now, of course, we know about our guardian angels. We've heard a lot about them.
What are the differences between spirit guides and the angelic teachers?
Oh, okay.
Confusing for a lot of people.
Okay, so... So the angelic teachers, now these are an area that's actually not talked about as much as it should. Angelic teachers are a very special class of beings, angelic beings, that are assigned to us and are literally, their job is to help us achieve our tapestry of life. Their job is to help us accomplish what we came here to do. They know our purpose, they know our karmas, they know our strengths, they know our weaknesses. And every day, they're not with us 24/7, but they come around a lot. They will inspire us with things that need to be done. And often when we're praying to the higher, it's them that will come in to help make the connection and give us the blessing, whether it's light, whether it's inspiration, whatever it is that we need. So they're kind of the, in our own personal life, they're kind of the leaders. They're kind of, you know, overseeing. Now, the spirit guides, and remember, this term was originated years ago by the spiritualists in the 1800s, and its original meaning was just simply a disembodied spirit that would talk to a medium. It gave no quality of what kind of a spirit this was, but if they were communicating information, they were like a spirit guide. And now the term has been used for anything from my dog Fido to my Uncle Fred, but those are not real spirit guides. Those are, it's true, your favorite dog may come around and visit you from the other side, or your favorite uncle may come around and support you, but that does not make you...
That doesn't make them your guide.
No, now a guide is a human soul that's on the other side, but they have graduated to what we call the enlightened levels. So they haven't quite reached the celestial planes yet, but they have reached the enlightened planes. So they're in this really unique position. They're very close to us in vibration, being still very human, you know, but they have that better perspective because they have the enlightenment. So the spirit guides act as the link between the human and the angelic teacher.
Oh, that was made very clear. Thank you very much. Yeah. There are 7 cycles of angelic evolution that you recorded. They are the cherubs. My mother used to love them. She used to have little pictures of little people, little children. Joy guides, divine energy angels, guardian angels, teaching angels, choir angels, and the great divine brotherhood angels. Is that the white brotherhood that is spoken of?
Yes, it is. But white, by the way, here does not mean, you know, like race.
It means purity and a pure white light.
Yeah. So it has nothing to do with...
Is that the order of their work level?
You said them perfectly, yeah. They're from the... You know, we got to remember, the angels are evolving, too. They're not static. So they do go from their little babyhood all the way up to their full maturity, which is the great divine brotherhood. And from there, they will, in a sense, be reborn as an archangel, and they'll start another level of evolution. But the 7 levels of angels are so important because these angels are interacting with us frequently. So they're very, we're really relating to them. For example, all of us have assigned to us 2 joy guides. And these joy guides are angelic children. And they do look like children a little bit, although a little bit bigger than normal. But again, you would think, oh, they're like 10-year-old kids. And their job is literally to put a smile on your face.
Well, because the physical life can be very challenging for the soul, which is sort of imprisoned in this physical density and wants to and knows it can do anything it wishes to create. It has unlimited potential. And so it can be difficult to maintain yourself in a physical life for a whole lifetime.
And what we tell people also is make sure you're taking some time to have fun. Don't make it all work and no play, you know, as it makes Jack and Jill a dull boy and girl. They love to travel. They love to do fun things. So whatever you like to do, whether it's go to a movie, take a hike or whatever, no matter how busy your week is, give a little time for joy.
Because they're coming with us.
and they'll inspire that. They'll definitely tickle. Or if you've had a sad day, something's happened to discourage you. As you said, it can sometimes be a challenge. You know, Earth is not an easy place to be at times.
It is a beautiful, wonderful life if you understand the possibilities and how you may move through challenges using this spiritual hierarchy and being aware that you're not alone. For people who don't know that, it is very challenging.
Well, first of all, they have said there's never been a better time to develop spiritually than right now on this earth. There's more opportunities now than there's ever been before. And that we're at the beginning, people paint kind of gloom and dooms that we're going to destroy this earth. But the actual fact of the matter is we're in the birth pains of the beginnings of a new golden age. So there's a lot of wonderful things that are happening right now on the other side to try to prepare for this new time that's coming on us.
I agree with you, yes.
What they say is, yes, during this last days kind of a thing, sometimes you'll see some terrible things happen, but they will pass. Don't let that discourage you. Keep close to the light, keep close to the divinity within you. And for anybody listening today, if they've had the awakening, that's not an accident. You know, that was the divine knocking on your door. And as Rudyard Kipling said, you know, fill that unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run. You know, really make your time here count, because it's extremely precious. Barbara had a student once that had, you know, studied several years with her, and she died. She crossed over the other side, and Barbara saw her on the inner planes. And the woman said, Barbara, I just want to thank you for everything. You know, on this other side, you can see it all so much clearer, and I'm so grateful for everything you gave to us and all the things we did. And my only regret is I didn't do more. In other words, didn't pursue her spiritual potential. In other words, she was... We sometimes get so caught up in the cares of life that we don't prioritize the spiritual enough. We say, oh, I'll get to it on Sunday. You know, we shelve it sometimes.
Every day is a day to find a moment of connection in beauty to another human being, to spirit, to nature. Every day there is a possibility, and we just need to pay attention and embrace it, open our hands and receive it, and not be afraid. Yeah, so what are the most important things you want people to walk away with after reading Communing with the Divine?
Well, at the end of the book, we gave four very basic things. The first one is to start acknowledging them, not just during your meditation, but throughout the day. It's just like a friendship. You know, if you walk in a room and you ignore people, that's not the beginnings of a good relationship, right?
No.
So even though we may not see them, just start acknowledging that they are there, and they are there to help and support. So as you open up your consciousness and include them in your life, you start to build the bond. Number two, knowledge. It does take some awareness of what they really do and what they don't do. They're not gods, you know. They're not genies to grant our every wish. So there's things they do and things they don't do. And understanding what the relationship actually is extremely important. They can do a lot of things to help us, but, of course, in the end, we have to do our own growing. Number three, meditation and prayer. If you are not making, meditation is your time to receive from the divine. Prayer is your time to petition the divine. They're two different processes that complement each other. And in the light work that we do, the meditative light work, we call it meditative prayers. You petition the divine, let's say, for the golden ray of wisdom light. Then you hold to receive that energy to have more confidence and courage in your life. So every day, even if it's 10 minutes a day, 2 hours on the weekend is not going to make it. You need to make it like brushing your teeth. Every day, take time to get into the silence, and nothing exists during that time period except you and God. And there you commune with the light, you commune with the holy ones, and then that leads to the fourth key, is inspiration and intuition. Inspiration is the mind prompting of the divine, giving you the ideas you need to use, and intuition is the perceptual prompting to understand something that's going on in your life right now. And as you start to get these promptings, you have to train yourself to listen to them. A lot of people are expecting when they, you know, that they, oh, I want to see the angel in front of me. Oh, I want to have this big sign, you know, saying, this is the way to go, you know. But as the ancients used to teach, it's the still small voice within. So if you learn to still your consciousness, hear that inner voice speaking to you, trust it, and then follow it, that will take you where you need to go.
Absolutely. And I want to thank you, Dimitri Moriartis, and thank Barbara Martin also, authors of Communing with the Divine, a most comprehensive and practical look at the ways in which leaders of the spiritual hierarchy influence our lives and share detailed information and insights into the various types of angels, joy guides, spiritual guides, and archangels whose divine universal energy and God bring us to understand the nature of heaven and earth and the interconnectedness to all. This wisdom in this book helps us to prosper and grow while beginning to recognize our connections to the patterns or designs of the most developed and evolved nature of life and spirit. For more information, please go to spiritualarts.org. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have been fortunate to listen to Dimitri, who from his earliest recollections began to open up to the aspects of the miraculous world of Holy Ones, and then accepted his responsibility to learn all he could from them, and then from his metaphysical human colleagues, so they could share clairvoyant visions and help us align to the source of our true nature as spiritual beings having a physical life. As Barbara writes, the first step in understanding God is to better understand ourselves. Who am I is one of the most philosophical questions of the ages. Metaphysics teaches that you are not your body. You are not even your personality. You are an immortal soul. Your soul is an individualized spark of life. This life is eternal without beginning or end. Your soul in some form has always existed and always will. It is one of the greatest moments in your evolution to discover and identify with the immortal you. And Dimitri and I, having done that, would say that is so, and we wish it for everyone listening today to have that experience. This quote reminds me of the reason I wrote my first book, Life is No Coincidence, The Life and Afterlife Connection, and then my new book, The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. For when I, as a skeptic, discovered the reality of consciousness surviving physical death, and God being a very active force in our life, and began to feel the energy of spiritual beings surround me and all of us with love and their desire to help us to develop our spiritual gifts to love life and God, I thought I was kissed by the power of the universe and wished to share this joyful message of eternal life with everyone. So thank you, Barbara and Dimitri, for your extensive studies and validating many of my own personal discoveries, adding clarity and greater wisdom to our growing knowledge of universal energy. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I welcome you to listen to the collective voices of authors in the fields of metaphysics, spirituality, religion, science, medicine, and the arts on my website, CherylGlick.com, as we answer those questions, who are we and where do we come from, and offer the world hope as we have embraced that hope for our continued evolution and expansion. Also listen to Healing From Within on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you very much for listening.